Happy Vodka Friday!
Vodka Friday!
I had to do that because Jeff was busting. Let's do it now!
Hold back the giggle. Hold back the giggle.
Right?
Well, I always get in trouble big time when I speak before I'm supposed to, especially when we're getting ready to start the show. And I'm like, oh, fuck, I'm gonna burp.
Hashtag accurate. Can you imagine him as a kid?
It's like when you're sitting in church or at a funeral or something, and you're with the person that you know you should not sit beside.
It's like,
right?
You can't tell him to be quiet for 30 seconds. He's like, it's like a trigger for him. Like, oh no, you can't do that because I have no time to giggle.
I'm trying to remember the last time that like my shoulders heaved, where I was like, I should not be laughing at this.
It's usually in church.
It was, yeah, it wasn't a funeral. Oh no, it fucking was.
It was a funeral.
I have some friends that I cannot sit beside
so
in a funeral or a wedding or whatever.
Oh my god,
I just fucking
I can't even get into it because it's, oh my god.
I had a
so bad.
A friend of mine lost his dad, Donnie Keaton, Southern Pride Poultry. I'm going to give a bit of a personal shout out to Randy and hope they're doing better. But so I go up and I go through the line.
Great poultry.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Donnie was, if I could share, years ago they used to do the Kitchener Market when it was big, when it was downtown Kitchener. So this is when I was in my 20s and off my rocker. Way off my rocker.
Yep.
So.
Hashtag accurate. I was there for some of it.
Yeah.
So it was around, I think there was a recession going on, and things were tight. I was working at a gravel pit, dropping heavy equipment, and I had Saturdays off. So Donnie and Randy asked me, they'd lost somebody that would work the market, that you want to come up and work the market on Saturdays. I said, yeah, sure. It's 4:30 in the morning. You get home about 4:30 in the afternoon. But it's good cash money.
Extra cash, yeah.
Yep. So I'm up there, started in whatever it was, February, March, April, or whatever. So it was
bagging chicken pieces.
Chicken feet, and Donnie, always giving Donnie the gears. We're not giving beef here around here away for free, Johnson. Get your thumb off the scale, Johnson. I'd be up there working. Well, this one day I was working on a Saturday afternoon, and this one gal comes to the counter, and we took a shine to each other.
No.
Not you.
Come on.
Was she upright and breathing? Shine. That's pretty much the qualification.
She has two legs.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah.
And a real vagina.
And all her limbs. All her limbs.
That's what she said.
And a real vagina.
And a four-legged cat.
Yeah. So she was spectacular.
So I look at Donnie and I go, I'm taking a coffee break. He says, it's fucking our busiest time. You don't take a coffee break. He says, yes, I do. I'm not family. So I fuck off and take a coffee break. And this girl says, Mike, hey, do you want to get out of here? And I went,
oh, my God.
Yeah, I do. Just a second. I got to go tell Donnie I'm fucking off. So I go over. Hey, I got to go.
This is your job? This is a job?
It was a part-time job. Donnie goes, what do you mean you got to go? We're fucking busy here. Got another 2 hours to 1 o'clock, then we close up and fuck off home. Yep, well, not today.
So, I might get lucky.
I fucked off, and then to this day, he never let me live it down. God rest his soul.
Oh.
I'll miss him because he was good fun. He was a funny dude. But anyway, I was up at this funeral. This is something, a question I have.
Okay.
Hey, I've started to notice this was at Kip's funeral home in Paris. So I come out of the visitation, where you see the
body.
The body.
Yep.
Got it.
And then the next room, excuse me, it's a full fucking catered buffet.
Oh, really?
And I walked in, I went, well, what do we have here?
Lunch dinner.
That cheered me up big time.
Is anybody serving the Vodka Friday?
Is there a to-go box?
I said, I've never been to a catered funeral before. So I said, I turned a fucking turned to Randy Keaton, Donnie's kid. And I go, fuck chicken. You know what? You're not even serving chicken in there. I said, everything but chicken they were serving. So, and then I started to wonder, what's the funeral home on Charing Cross? Is it Tollhurst?
Dennis.
Tollgate.
Dennis
Tollgate.
Toll. Oh,
Dennis Toll. Dennis Toll.
Is it just Toll or Dennis Toll?
Off his, so you can do the same thing in his parlor.
Yeah.
And then you scoot over to the
to
hall.
To the other building.
And have your fucking celebration of life right there. And I said, So I said to my neighbor,
it's a twofer. It's a twofer.
So I said to my neighbor just before the lady told me to fuck right off. And yes. I said, this is quite the fucking scam. I said, because you can go to any funeral. People don't.
They don't know.
How did you know?
They don't know.
Fuck, we went to school together. We were best pals.
That's right. Dress up black.
I slept with them on my summer vacation in 1982.
I get a free freaking meal and free drinks.
And grab a.
I think there are people that do that.
A sandwich. I'm sure there are.
I had never been made aware that these were catered to functions. Now I thought you went to the celebration of life after the fact.
Sometimes not always.
Oh, this was a visitation that they had.
Yeah, so
in the next hall. Yeah, in the next room.
No, so you go to the funeral. Yes. Yeah. Oh, so funeral. You go to the funeral, but the thing is right there, right? Yes. But it is a full blown out meal.
I've
never
seen that.
You should
that.
Hear what Mike wants. Like, I actually hope I'm dead before he has his funeral because what he wants is ridiculous. He wants a full, like, 6-course meal. and not only that,
a band?
He wants at gravesite, he wants waiters with platters of
we're
of
coming.
Sandwiches.
We're coming.
You know, those little quarters. The little quarters. Because, you know, you get hungry. You get, you know, the times you're at the gravesite, you get hankering. He says, you get a hankering for an egg salad.
Yeah. Like, could you just.
Excuse me.
With the crust cut off.
Yes, with the crust cut off. Of course. Of course, those little triangles.
Oh, David.
A little cheese plate. You know?
Where's the sandwich girl?
That's where, the sandwich girl. We're going to hang her at the gravesite.
We're
get this now.
Yeah. He wants a seven course meal. He wants a 7-course meal.
It's, oh, I'm my like, God. We're coming.
You know what? It's got to be catered.
We're going to laugh the whole time you're organizing it. We're going to help, but we're not helping you.
I've been going to funerals in the Tri-County area for the last 3 weeks, whether I know fucking people. Or not. I went by Black Friday.
You can
hey,
eat well.
It's a Friday. Happy Black Friday.
Wear some black clothing, and you're all set.
How did you know, Mick? Oh fuck! One of the wars.
What's your best? What's your best funeral? Have you gone to like really good? I've gone to some really good funerals.
My mom's, I like that.
Is your mom's a good one?
My mom. Yeah, so on my mom's funeral, because she was a musician.
Yeah.
So. And she died young, so a lot of people show up. Yes. So there was well over 1,000 people at her funeral. And we had the first, so it was at St. Pius Church.
Ooh.
We had the first, I don't know, probably 5 rows that were just alumni students.
Wow.
And we had them, so my mom, this is going to be a bit of a downer story, but so about 2 weeks before my mom was dying, she said to me, Rita, I need you to come in. She wasn't like that with it. She was morphined out and she was dying. And she goes, I need you to come into the living room and bring a pen and paper. And I went, okay. Mm-hmm. So I'm sitting there and she goes, pallbearers. And I went, oh, you got to be kidding
me. Here we go. Right?
So I go, Mom, I can't do this. Mm-hmm. And she goes, she looked at me very stoic and she went, you're the only one who can. Mm-hmm. And I went, okay. I went and grabbed a box of Kleenex and we planned her funeral. So all the songs that she wanted and stuff like that. So then when she finally passed, we had, like, there were students that were, so the priest at St. Pius was a good friend of hers.
Yeah.
And he was also a musician. He sounded like Frank Sinatra, a great guy. Anyway, he wanted to make it epic. So he had all these students that were contacting him. So one of the songs, How Great Thou Art, was what my mom wanted sung.
Yeah.
So she had done all those big productions that they did at Sanderson Center and shit like that. So we had about 4 main singers. And they stood up and started it, and then all 5 rows got up and started singing it. They had practiced singing How Great That Out. It was incredible. Then we had all these musicians from Brantford show up, and basically Father Frank just said to them, just show up with your, we'll put you in the pit. And so they played, it was kind of like
I heard of this Father Frank. He was pretty cool, right?
He's a great guy, yeah.
Everybody loved Frank.
Yeah, so it was
very cool guy.
It was very jazzy, and it was like very gospel-y. The last thing my mom did musically was she had a gospel choir.
Yes.
So they were there. And then she had these students that were incredible soloists, and they sang, Amazing Grace was one of them.
This is at a Catholic funeral?
Yes. Because he was the priest. He could do what he wanted. And then he grabbed...
I got a story.
Andrew and Riley were 5 months old when she died. Yeah. So he came and grabbed them. Mm-hmm. And the one song that I sang with my mom, we would sing it at weddings if she accompanied me or whatever, was The Rose.
The Rose,
and we
would, yes.
So he grabbed the boys, went up, and he sang The Rose.
With you?
No.
Oh,
no, are you kidding? I was a puddle. Oh, okay. Anyway, and had the boys as he was... And he was sort of walking around with them and stuff. It was, honest to God, I had one of our suppliers call us on the Monday, and he said to me, I just have to tell you, he had gone to Toronto that night, and he said, I'm trying to explain to people how incredible this funeral was. Yeah. And we left to when the saints go marching in, and it was a big, oh, well, the saints go marching. It was all like really happy and stuff. And I'm bawling, wow. And my brother's bawling. And I look at Dan and went, she would have loved every second of this funeral. Sure. We couldn't have commemorated her any better than we
and
did.
No offense in any so weird good. Way. I wish I had seen it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it was yeah. absolutely incredible. Yeah. It's on tape.
Donna's crying.
Not that I've ever, yeah. It was absolutely incredible. Yeah. And it was, I never spoke. My big regret was that I couldn't speak. So, you know Becky.
Yes.
So, Becky's dad was a real part of my mom's journey as she was dying. He never missed a week. He was the principal of the school. He's the one that said to her, Pat, for God's sakes, would you go to university so I can pay you? Because she used to volunteer, right?
Right.
So, he's the reason she became a teacher.
You're kidding.
So she went.
Yeah. Oh. So she had said when she planned her funeral with me, she said there was a poem that she carried in her purse with her. Uh-huh. And she said, I wanted Ted. He was a pole bearer. He was the first person. Well, my mom was cremated, so there was no pole bearers.
No.
So he actually read that she carried with her all the time. So anybody that she wanted kind of involved, we had involved. My big regret is that I didn't speak.
No.
It's hard, though.
I would speak. I mean, my dad's in great shape.
You probably couldn't have.
I don't know if I could have.
I blubbered like half, three quarters through it.
Yeah.
It was messy, but it was all emotion and it was.
So my niece was a singer, and she went to sing at my mom's funeral, and she couldn't get through it.
Oh, really?
I wouldn't have been able to sing at it.
And my dad, couldn't sing. At all, went up and stood beside her and helped her finish the song. It was so emotional. Unbelievable. Oh. Yeah.
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 So I'm going to tell you a quick story too. So we had asked for donations, like if you wanted to do anything, donations. So we ended up with about $40,000. So we took that $40,000 and for 10 years, we gave out a $4,000 scholarship to music.
Yeah.
And you had to be continuing in music to university. So you got $4,000 for 1 year. And, but you had to have a need because my mom was all about the underdog. Mm-hmm. So you couldn't because of your marks. It had to be that and your involvement and you had to have a need. So the first year, of course, was the biggest year because everybody knew her. So there was two girls. So they had to write an essay. Mm-hmm. The one girl, her parents could afford to send her to university. She was going to do great no matter what. The other girl, there was a need. That girl today is the head of the music department that my mom was. Her first scholarship recipient became the music teacher at St. John's and is now the head of the school.
Super cool.
Crazy, eh? You just know, right? Once it was done after 10 years, because there's so much time, not everybody remembers. My dad just said, we'll do it for 10 years and that's it.
The taper, yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
It was crazy.
Anybody else have a good story? A good positive funeral story?
Yeah.
I mean, funerals are never positive, but some, like, that's a great story.
You know what? Okay, so my dad died during COVID. So my oldest sister lives in Tennessee, couldn't come home. Right. Mm-hmm. And she said, the funeral home did, and it was all outdoors, obviously, because we couldn't even stand near each other because it was that crazy bullshit. And they aired it so she could see it. And she said, you know what? I've seen other funerals taped where, you know, they try to make you part of it and it's shit. Mm-hmm. It was actually, she said, honest to God, I felt like I was there.
I watched
it.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was nice.
Yeah. My dad died during COVID as well.
Yeah.
And we did tape it because we have a lot of relatives in California. So it was taped and it was sent down to them. Oh, they watched it live, I think. And it was great. Like, I've spoken at a lot of funerals, like a lot.
Are you the Grim Reaper?
To the point where the family looks at me as the guy.
We need a speaker.
Call Dave. Yeah. Call Dave.
So exactly. Who's going to speak? Well, Dave's going to speak. So, I spoke at my cousins, my grandpas, like four uncles, my dad's, and my aunts. It's to the point now where I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
And I love doing it.
Yeah.
Because I find it's cathartic. Like, it's very, because you go through the emotion of shock of a loved one dying and that. And then, but when you sit down and you start writing out your eulogy, it brings back such a positive message to your mind that you really can embrace the loss, but the joy of knowing that person.
Yeah, because it's the memories.
It's the memories. Yeah. So I find it, I get through it like really well, but it's the ones that are really close to me that I lose it in the speech. When I get, like when I start, get through it, then motion takes over and I'll like, blah, 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 and be a blubbering mess. But it is to the point where all my cousins, they all say, who's going to do the eulogy? Dave's going to do the eulogy.
Well, okay, so for my dad's, they like on the spot said to us, you five kids are going to say something. Or you four kids, because my one sister's in Tennessee. And we're going to start with you, Donna. And my I'm like,
what? And you probably don't do a lot of public speaking, so.
I did for my work a million years ago, but not emotional. Normal. No. Yeah, exactly. And I was like, okay. Yeah. And literally, you're like, you're on in a minute. I'm like, what the fuck, right? Yeah. So anyway, you just speak from your heart.
The most emotional one that I, well, not most emotional, but one of the most emotional was my mom. So she went to a funeral of a neighbor, and they were married for like 70 years, this old couple, and the wife died, and the surviving husband talked out. He did the eulogy of his wife and told his story about how they met and
that's
how
nice.
They grew a life together and their kids and grandkids and all this stuff. And she remembered how stoic and how warm and how loving, and for him to tell his story, finally tell their story, she remembered that. So when my dad died, and again, he had cancer, so she had time to prepare for the death and that. So she had time to think about it. And she decided to speak at his funeral. So she spoke and she told their story about how they met when they were young kids, 17, and grew this life with three kids and built a house and built a life and were married for 50-some years, almost 60 years. And that was nice. It was a very touching moment for her to actually do it. And it's a memory that a lot of people cherish.
Absolutely.
I put you guys are all in my will that I want you to speak.
Yeah, I'll speak.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
I will say this, though.
We'll do a podcast. Wait, sorry. Wait,
Jeff. Jeff. Knock on his coffin, Jeff.
Wake up, Jeff.
Fuck off, Jeff. Wake up.
Well, Jason, we'll have t-shirts. Wake up, Jeff.
But you know what? And I will say this. I will say, because I lost my mom so young, that you're right, Donna, there's not a chance that I could have spoken that because it's too young.
No.
But at my dad, dad's in great shape, but he's older and he's lived a full life. And as much as I'll be on the floor, I no doubt in my mind, if I don't die first, which I hope I don't, but you know, I would no doubt in my mind that I'll stand.
Do you remember the first funeral you ever went to?
No. Yes, my grandmother's.
Yeah, how old were you?
Four.
Four? Well, how about you, Jeff?
Yep.
How are you?
Who? Would have been my Grandma Johnson.
I mean, how old were you?
16.
Okay, because I find today's generation, they shelter kids. A lot of people don't take their kids to funerals, and I think it's important that you
do. When I was a grade three, I saw my best friend get hit by a car and killed. But I was sheltered from the funeral.
You what?
Was sheltered from the funeral. My dad come down on the morning, say your best buddy's gone to heaven.
Yeah,
and I cried. Robert Smith, God rest his soul.
So you seen it happen?
Yeah.
Okay.
And you're young though.
But he went to the hospital. You didn't know he was actually dead.
No, I didn't know he was dead, but I knew he was like.
And your dad told you that he died? He
came down in the basement on the Saturday morning before he went to work. And I had to cry. But, yeah. My emotional.
Your cousins had to have been tough.
Yeah, but that was different.
How old were you then?
That was like family. I know. That was like a brother.
No, exactly.
How old were you then?
You'd been in your 30s?
30s. Okay. But it was tragic.
It was.
Yeah, that's the worst is when you go to a young person's funeral.
Yeah.
Like when they're old, you kind of go, they lived a great life and I want to hear their story.
Even my parents,
and that's wonderful.
As horrific 100%. As it is, yes. they've lived a life and you have to just look at the memories and all that.
Yes.
But when it's somebody that's cut short.
Yes. When they're a young adult
I'm going to pass out because it's just like, this is horrific.
When I was a kid, so my first funeral, I was probably, I'm going to say I was probably six, and it was my great grandfather. So it was my dad's mother's father. And my dad's mom died young. She had leukemia at 40, and she was gone within 2 weeks of being diagnosed, because back in the 60s, it was 1960, I think it was.
Oh, yeah.
There was nothing. So she was diagnosed, and she died at 40. So she died young. And so anyway, I didn't really know this. I just knew that mom and dad were taking us to this funeral. And the thing that struck me the most is, you know, they have the body and display, and all the relatives come in. And he was old. Like, he was old.
Yeah.
Because he was a great-grandfather at that point. So he'd been in his 80s, whatever. And I just remember that his daughters, and he had a bunch of family. Like, he had like six or eight kids. And a couple of his daughters, they were joking in the funeral. They're laughing and carrying on. And I'm thinking, like, this is supposed to be a tragedy. This is supposed to be, I'm expecting, this is a funeral. Like, what are you doing? Why are you laughing?
Why
is everybody crying?
Yeah.
But they were thinking about his funny parts.
Exactly.
And
they were telling the stories. And that's their family dynamic anyway, is that they were jokesters. They were boisterous. I probably get some of my jokesters from that side of the family. And my dad was the same way. Yeah. But it just kind of struck me as odd. But then later on, when I was probably in my teens, I did experience a kid that I went to school with, a couple of kids actually.
I had quite a few good friends that died.
I had three funerals during my teen years, early teen years, that died, and one was pretty close. And I remember the tragedy of that because there were so many people at the funeral, and everyone was crying.
Everyone was crying,
and the emotion was so bad. And my brother was one of his best friends that died, and he was the guy that everybody loved. He was the valedictorian of high school two years in a row. Wow. He was valedictorian because he did 12, grade 13. Yeah. And everybody loved him. He was a star athlete. He acted in all the plays. He was
just a well-rounded, nice.
His name was Shannon Goodson. Anybody remember Shannon Goodson?
Oh, no, I do.
Shannon what?
Shannon Good.
His parents ran the post office out in Harley.
In Harley, yes.
So I played floor hockey with him and junior hockey.
You remember Shannon? Oh, my God.
He was a great
100%.
Guy. He was 100%. A really good guy.
Loved guy. Like, and, he was gorgeous. He was a runner. He worked out.
He was everything.
He was those guys.
He was the package, right?
He was the package. He had everything. And he died young. He was going to school in Buffalo, and he died in an accident on the
404
QEW. Coming back from it's kind of like
how tragic
kinda like
is that,
Tim Horton died in St. Catharines. It was kind of the same thing. So anyway, he passed away suddenly. He was engaged, and I remember going to it was my brother's best friend, and we grew up together, so he was a big part of our family. It was such a tragedy. I still to this day cannot get over that.
I got so when Ray and I bought our first house, we had a semi-detached house, and we shared a driveway with a family that were from I don't know if they were from Iran or Iraq. Iraq, I think, is where they were from, or Lebanon. Anyway, so they had four daughters, and then they had a son, and basically they moved because his son would have had to have gone into the army, and they actually moved to save their son's life.
Right.
So, funny couple. I mean, he ignored me like crazy, but right? And I'll tell you, when we first moved in, we had all this wood because we were rebuilding the fence between the two of us. Yeah. And he comes out and he starts barking at Ray about the fence stuff that they put on the piece of grass between our driveways. You need to move that right now. And Ray's going, finally Ray goes, I'm not fucking moving it. Have a nice day. And I go, I'm not starting our cars. Anyway, so we got to be pretty, like, not friends with him, but as friends as you can be, right? But he'd come in, his dad would come in, and he'd bark, and all four girls would run out, and they'd bring the things, and his wife cut the grass and everything, and his son would sit there smoking his hookah, and I go, you better fucking hope you marry a girl from your whatever
culture,
So he became an RCMP and he went out west. Mm-hmm. So there's a night we had some people over that Ray had worked. Ray was a cop in Brantford at the time. And so there was a cop car in their driveway and they're throwing snowballs at the cops, him and Jeff, because they don't know why he's there, right? And the guy goes, no.
No, this is tragedy.
So the son, who was the RCMP guy, was killed on duty and on the Sea-to-Ski Highway between Vancouver and Whistler,
Yeah.
Anyway, and he died, and he moved his family to save him. So they brought his body back, and it was a Muslim ceremony. And if you've ever been to a police funeral, it is completely humbling.
Yeah,
because they were from fucking everywhere, all in their number one dress. And there was, like, I don't know how many were there, a thousand more, that had come in from everywhere. And then, of course, for him. And then, of course, now you have a very broken family, and they've got three daughters. Mm-hmm. The oldest one, before this happened, she had an arranged marriage, but he didn't want to marry her. So she became crap till she married whatever, a doctor finally. So then the second one, she was pretty funny, and she would just sort of, she'd go, I'm working late at McDonald's, and then she'd go and do whatever she wanted. Then he had twins. The youngest ones were twins. So the son dies, and then the twin, I'm not sure, like, they were the same as the middle daughter. Like, they worked at McDonald's as well. Yeah. They would leave in their uniform,
really,
and he'd go, you're not fucking working, right?
They're partying.
Right?
Yeah.
So anyway, the twins, the one of them, when she was 30, didn't wake up.
No. Like, there was so much tragedy in this family. You just went,
some families are hit by tragedy. That was their tragedy. Over tragedy.
Like, well,
but the police funeral was something. Like, you can't even.
I've been to so many.
To be moved
funerals,
by that, so you go, oh my God.
So I can count on you guys to speak at the funeral.
Oh, yeah, I see.
Oh, gladly. Sure,
will you guys.
Are you dying anytime? I'm not. I'm going to tell the truth.
No,
I won't. If I die, it'll happen suddenly. I've already come to that conclusion.
Oh, yeah?
I'm serious.
Oh, yeah?
Unless somebody takes me out. Yeah. And I'd like a ventriloquist.
your dog poop lady might take you out.
The dog poop lady,
She might almost
throw a punch in and hit you in the wrong spot. And then
she came close to offending me, and I don't offend easy.
One of the funniest stories, speaking of funerals, this is funny, and I probably told this about my granddad. It's so funny.
Jesus,
yeah, we got a thunderstorm.
Lord Almighty. Right?
Yeah. That's God talking.
It's thundering out there. I know.
Stop talking about funerals. I'm going to burn the house down.
It's probably my granddad, because he doesn't want me telling the story because it's so fucking funny. So I said my dad's mom passed away when she was 40, right? So she died of leukemia, and my granddad went on to marry another woman a few years later, and he was married to who I grew up as Grandma Ruby.
Do you have a metal roof by any chance?
Yeah, you think, Jesus, right? Lord. Yeah, we'll try and edit some of that out. Hopefully you can't hear it all.
That's
it's actually kind of cool. Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt.
So he was married for 25 years to Grandma Ruby, and she got leukemia.
Okay.
So she was older. Like, she was probably in her late 70s. And she got leukemia, and she passed away. She passed away 25 years to the month of his first wife passing of leukemia.
No way.
Yeah. So it was really kind of weird. We were all like, oh my God, like, this has been like 25 years to the month. And, you know, to like two wives. Wow. It's like, cats and dogs out there.
It's like
crazy.
We got the second cow.
It's
second
my grandpa
coming.
Going, shut up. Don't tell the story. It's stupid.
Jesus.
So anyway, after the funeral, we're all sitting back at the house, and he's got an old farmhouse, and we're in the house, and we're sitting around the room just having the, you know.
And you couldn't hear each other because the rain was hitting them.
So anyway, all of a sudden, he comes in the room, and he goes, you know, I think it's the carpets. I'm like, what? What's he talking about? Well, I didn't start losing wives till we got carpets in this house.
We have excessive fiber.
So to take that story, so we talked earlier about sitting next to people that you shouldn't sit to. I was at a meeting, and it was kind of a serious meeting. I was in the background, and there was these two people, and I just came back from another funeral, and sitting with a couple of friends of mine that love to tell crazy stories. So I was telling the story during this meeting. It was kind of like hush hush, you never really would happen, because it just had happened. So it was something you never believe it happened at this funeral. We fucking were laughing in this serious meeting. We're in the background, and people are looking at us like, what the fuck, right? And it's because the story is so
bizarre. It's one of those, don't look at me, don't look at me, don't look at me.
Do not sit beside me ever again.
I'm probably one of those guys you don't sit with at a funeral.
No. My grandmother died on her 100th birthday.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
We were all down there to celebrate her birthday, and we turned it into a wake. What do you mean she died?
What do you mean? Oh.
But that wasn't sad. I mean,
That brings you to another story. So I belong to a group called Gilwellian. So a Gilwellian is a scouter that has taken special training, and they become a certain level of scouter. It's called a Gilwell scouter, and they're all over the world, right? So it's a brotherhood all over the world to Gilwell scouts. So we have a reunion once a year, and there's
doesn't
an old
sound
gentleman.
Doesn't this sound like
Handmaid's
Tale?
No, it's crazy. So Gilwellian. So,
whatever.
So we have this reunion every year that we get together. There's this one gentleman from the U.S., and he was in his 80s, and he would come up every year. He would travel from Ohio, I think it was, or Pennsylvania. He would come up, and he would join us for this, and he was a great guy. And we finally decided he was in a nursing home. We thought, okay, we're going to do a road trip, a group of us, about six or eight of us.
Yeah.
Do a road trip. We're going to go visit Andy at the funeral home. So we all get in the car. We plan this weekend. We leave it on Friday night. We go through the Buffalo border. We're on our way to Pennsylvania. And one of the people say, well, does Andy know we're coming? We're like, no, we should probably stop and phone, right? So we stop. The one girl phones the funeral home. He died 2 months ago. We're almost there. Like, are you fucking kidding me?
It's like,
we're going there to review over there.
We're so close.
He died 2 months ago. I mean, we were going for his birthday. We had a birthday cake for
him. Oh my God. How'd that cake taste? Yeah. Oh my God. There was a guy that used to work with our family, and his dad died. So Michelle and I, my sister and I, we decided to go to the funeral, and he was, I guess, say he was Baptist. So the funeral was at a certain location, whatever. Yeah. We walk in and we go, this can't be it, because it was a black priest, yeah. which yeah. And you got to understand that
Southern Baptist.
Me, I'm like, well, this can't be the right one. Anyway, yeah, so yeah. Michelle and I sit down, and we don't see the guy that like the
did
guy
they start singing?
Oh yeah, it yeah. was like, and we're yeah. like, so I
grew up Baptist. I know all about it.
I turn yeah. around to Michelle and I go, I think we're in the wrong funeral. Well, fuck, didn't we start laughing? And then at the time, I was a little sad. So my ringtone was, so I had a bad day. And somebody fucking called me in the funeral, and I'm like, fuck, 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 trying to get it off. I'm just like, oh my god, we are disasters. Swear to God, disasters.
So yeah, had a bad day.
That was it. Rated right that. So you had a bad day, and I don't know what. And then when my phone would go off, they got the funeral. My sister's going, Jesus, Rita.
We're gonna play that at your funeral.
Right?
Top 10 songs to play at funerals.
Yeah, we should.
That'll be next. We should call up the top 10 bottom body songs.
So I'm very specific on my funeral. I have told my daughter.
Do you?
Okay, yeah, I was very specific.
What's your plan?
I loathe funeral homes. I loathe funerals in a church.
Okay.
None of that shit ever, never.
I agree.
Pick one of my favorite spots in the whole entire world. Mm-hmm. There's no, nobody standing there doing some fucking, you know, priesty eulogy bullshit.
Okay.
Because I'm
you're not.
That's not my world.
You're not religious. Okay. Right. Yep. Religion's not a thing for
right.
you. Yeah.
If I have specific friends that want to speak or sing, or then knock yourself out. But it's got to be somewhere.
Spiritual is fine, but not too
no, it's not religious. Even, no religion. No religion. No, okay. It has to be people that actually got, I've been at a funeral where they can't even get the fucking name right.
Right. So, oh. yes.
Oh, yeah.
Me too.
Oh, yeah.
Me too. Yes. The worst funeral I ever did was my,
never
was
in my world
father.
Is that going to happen. Yeah. I would rather have no funeral.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I just want, I want, if somebody has something that they want to say, then say it. If they don't, whatever, right? Sing, talk, whatever. But it's got to be somewhere that makes me happy.
Yeah.
Like we could be do right. Was her favorite song, Depeche Mode.
Depeche Mode. But you know, it has to be in a location that would make me happy.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. Pick it. Some, you know,
an island
would
like
make
the
you
islands.
Happy.
You
would
like
be
an island, or you know, on a beach, or I don't give a shit.
I'm like just, rent out a bar.
Do you want to be
like rent out a bar? Invite everybody, pick it up, whatever, and they can set up a mic.
Quick question
and
around
talk.
The table. I'm trying to think how to say this with the dignity. Buried or burnt?
Cremation.
Jesus, cremation.
And then I press into a diamond, and my kids have to wear me.
Let me tell you why. Because I hate bugs and I hate dirt. So why the fuck would I want to be buried?
Yeah, I would. Sure. I want to be cremated.
Looking right, sister.
But you can press you into a diamond.
Make sure I'm totally fucking dead, and then you can.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like not just that.
Make sure. Poke me with a fork, at least.
I'll poke you with a fork, all right.
I'll fork you, all right.
That'll kill her. Fuck, I'm out.
If this doesn't kill, I don't know. Will
like an aneurysm?
Send her with a bang.
Oh my
god. Oh, unintended. Yeah.
Honestly, it'll be quite a speech when I get up there.
Oh, Jesus.
Hi, everybody.
Sloan will be vetting whoever speaks, just so you know.
I won't get up there.
The worst funeral I ever went to was my father-in-law's, and it was a Catholic mass. And the reason it was bad is because, so my father-in-law was he was a Scottish guy, like a Canadian. He was true Canadian, like probably eighth generation Canadian guy. And he was, you know, Scottish heritage. He was not part of the, it's crazy of the remaining, so sorry about the noise, people. But anyway, great guy, super funny guy. His name was Ed, but his full name was Edwin. And the funeral was...
I actually like that name, Edwin.
Edwin, yeah. So the funeral was at the Catholic, the Polish Catholic Church, because his wife was Polish. His wife was Polish. And so this Polish priest, who could barely speak English, kept referring to him as Edwin, when his name was Ed.
Yeah.
And he refused to say anything about him as a person. He did the mass.
He didn't know him.
He didn't
know him.
And he refused. And so we asked at the beginning, can we have a eulogy? Because I had prepared a speech to speak. And my mother-in-law wanted me to speak. And my ex wanted me to speak. And he refused. He denied us. So after the mass, we all get into the cars to go to take the body to the cemetery. We sat in the cars for half an hour, all of us, waiting for him, the priest, to get undressed and get in the car.
Oh my God.
He held the whole funeral up for a half an hour sitting in the car. We kept waiting. What's going on?
Was he jerking off?
I probably. So even the limo drivers, because they had limo drivers.
I'm going to fucking hell, eh?
You might want to avoid the church funeral.
You know what? I'll see you there.
As they bring the body in, the holy water starts bubbling. We'll all be there.
There was a couple of altar boys.
Sometimes my mouth speaks before I should.
Right? Jeez.
Anyway, so held us up for half an hour. And I couldn't say my speech until we went to the... We went back for the lunch after the gravesite ceremony, and I was able to say the speech at the lunch. That was the only time we could do a eulogy that actually spoke of who he was as a person.
Right.
And his family, who were not Catholic, most of his brothers and
sisters. Yeah, so they wanted that personal, personal view. Yeah.
So I refuse, and I'm Catholic, I would refuse to have a Catholic funeral. I think it's the worst possible funeral you could ever do, unless you do it something like what Father Frank did.
Father Frank was a friend of my mom's.
When you know the person,
it is all up to the father. You're right. And he went. He's not a priest anymore.
No,
but he was a good friend of my family's and my mom.
I'm nowhere near Catholic, and I know about him.
He had a great reputation.
And they drove him out of the priesthood because
I heard that.
They set him up, and it was horrendous.
He did his own. Thing, right?
He went against the doctrine of the church.
He didn't always march to the diocese.
That was good of him. But I'm not a good Catholic, but anyway.
I would say the worst funeral I went to was actually the day my mom died. Her neighbor's mother was dying as well. Her neighbor was older. But so Michelle was good friends with the neighbor. So I said, look, I'll go to this funeral with you. And so I had arranged, it was weird, I had arranged to have, there was two women that spent a day a week with my mom so that we didn't always have to be there. So Dan, Michelle, and I all had a day, and then Jackie and Shirley had a day.
Yeah.
And so I'd asked Jackie and Shirley if they could come look after the boys, because it took two.
Right.
And so that I could go to the funeral with Michelle, which was ironic. So we go, and it was a beautiful day, August 17th. We go to the funeral, and we're sitting there, Michelle and I, and the priest is, and it's at a funeral home, and he goes, and let's just back that up with this scripture. It was the most impersonal funeral ever.
Oh, I know.
And I sat there beside Michelle, and literally I went, I swear to God, if somebody celebrated my life like this, I'd be pissed off. And I started laughing. Yeah. And we are fucking dying. And you're trying really hard not to. Because it was the worst funeral ever, right?
Yeah.
Then we get back, and one of my mom's very close friends was related to this family. So he's driving by, and... Michelle and I were going to head back to her house because she was having an after thing. And I can't, so we're talking to Jackie and Shirley. And I swear to God, we heard, hello, enough that I got up and we went, oh my God, Lois, which was my mom's VON.
Yeah.
Oh my God, Lois is back. And I get up and I go, let me see what she's doing, because they had the front that was all in office. And there was no Lois. I go into the living room, and my mom, who was completely incapacitated and hadn't moved in a week, she was sitting up and she was reaching up. And I'm kidding you not. And I looked at my sister and said, call Dad and call Dan now.
Really?
And my dad came over. So everybody that had helped her on this journey were there.
Yeah.
And my dad came over, and there's signs that they're going to pass right away.
Yes.
There was none of that morning.
Really?
And and we all stood there, and she died at 2 o'clock that afternoon. And I was on one side, my dad was on one side, Michelle was there, and my brother, he didn't make it there because he got stopped outside by her friend. But I know this for a fact, my mom would not have wanted her son to be there when she died.
It's so weird because with both my mom and my dad, the people oddly enough, so when my mom passed, my dad and I, we decided Dad needed a break because he had been there 24/7. And I said, Dad, let's go back to your house and we'll just take a little station break. And Colleen and Heather are here. And literally, we got to his house and they called and said, she passed. So
they know.
The right timing, for sure. Yeah.
They say hearing's the last thing that goes. Yeah.
And then with my dad, all of us had taken a turn. We stayed with him night after, and I had just left
and my other brother came in and he died right then.
With your brother was there?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
and
nice.
And yeah, mm-hmm. and I know it was easier for him than for me.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
100%.
Oh, sure. I remember my dad died. So he was hospice at home because it was COVID. And they had the choice. They could put him in the hospice or they could do hospice at home. And they chose to do hospice at home.
That was my mom.
And so they brought in the PSWs or whatever that would help out with giving the medication and that. Because it took probably a good 2 weeks that he hospiced there. And it was awful to see him in bed. And he was just wasting. He was a bigger guy. And when he passed, he was a skeleton. And so he didn't look like himself, the whole thing. And I remember the night he passed, I was there till about 10 o'clock and I was holding his hand and I was kind of crying and saying, Dad, it's okay. You can go. Like, we got this. We got this. I'm just going to let him go and know that he's okay to go. And then he did die at midnight. My mom called me and said, yeah, he's passed. So then I drove to Tilsonburg and stayed the night with her while they came and collected the body. But there's a song, and I just discovered it not too long ago, and I kind of been practicing on karaoke. It's called Monster by James Blunt.
Yeah, yeah.
And
I know
do you
exactly
know the song?
By James Blunt.
By James Blunt.
Yeah.
So I'm going to read you a bit of that because it strikes so home to me that night. So this is the first verse. It says, oh, before they turn off all the lights, I won't read you your wrongs or your rights. The time is gone. I'll tell you goodnight. Close the door. Tell you I love you once more. The time is gone. So here it is. I'm not your son. You're not my father. We're just two grown men saying goodbye. No need to forgive. No need to forget. I know your mistakes and you know mine. And while you're sleeping, I'll try to make you proud. So Daddy, won't you just close your eyes? Don't be afraid. It's my turn to chase the monsters away. It's so sad.
It's beautiful.
It is. So I sing it. And the first time I sang it, I was bawling my eyes out. But I practiced it so many times. And a good friend of mine lost his dad the same way. He was very close to his dad. He held his hand when he passed. And when I sang that to him, he wept so hard because it was Aaron. You guys know Aaron.
Yeah.
He wept so hard because that struck so much to his experience when he lost his dad. He had to hold his hand through that period of when he passed that night. And I love that song. It's just one of my favorites. Not that I want that played at my funeral.
We're
going to make you sing it.
I didn't sing The Rose for 10 years.
Really?
I would not sing it.
I've seen you get weepy when you sing The
Rose.
Well,
it just takes me right back to her. And my sister about 4 years ago, she found a recording of my mom and I. Singing The Rose.
Wow.
Yeah. And she had little, she put it all into a CD and sent it to Dan and I gave it to Dan and I for Christmas.
Nice.
That was that. It's tough hearing their voice. Like, I've got a ton of videos and I've never had them put into anything that I could actually watch right now.
Yeah. I gotta go
but
back and watch
I'm going to, because you know what? I mean, it just brings a lot back and you, I don't know. I mean, I kept her bathrobe, my mom's bathrobe I probably had it for 3 years. I had it hanging up in my basement because I could smell her.
Yeah.
And then when I couldn't smell, I remember the day I went down there, I couldn't smell her anymore. Yeah. And I fell apart. I was like, oh, God. Yeah. Anyway, you know what? It's
losses is part of life.
It is.
It's part of life.
You just got to hope you don't lose your kids.
You know, exactly. That is a tragedy. But I think it's encouraging to, I encourage any parent to take your kids to funerals at a young age. Do it. Just do it. It's hard, but do it. So they will appreciate it later in life and they'll understand the cycle of life. Mm-hmm. And they'll know to understand that with each death is a lesson, and you take what you learn from that person, and you create those memories, and you keep them with you because you've seen that there's an ending to things, and that's it makes me more comfortable understanding that I'm going to die someday too.
Yeah.
So
you know what? When my mom died, Sloan was 9, and her cousin Cooper was 9, and her younger cousin Vaughn was probably 7.5, and we stopped letting the kids see her in the hospital.
Yeah.
Because at that point she's 68 pounds. She was like, there was nothing there.
Yeah.
So we didn't let them go to the hospital anymore, but absolutely went to the funeral. Now, mind you, we didn't let them go to the open casket room.
Right.
Which was, it was just us adults that went in and not the whole funeral, like just us family, because that's not how they remembered her.
Right.
But being at the funeral, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So do we have songs that we would like to have on our funeral? Like, Jeff, do you have a favorite song like Highway to Hell?
I do love that one. I'm on a highway to hell.
Oh my God! And on that note, and you know, thank you for sticking around for the super happy podcast we did today.
It is but boring, it is, rain.
I know.
Just to give the background.
Thunder and lightning.
Let's spin it this way: when I go, you're all fucking invited. I don't care who
comes. I'm gonna go first.
I want you to speak, Dave. You can be the pallbearer. I'd like a wagon.
Anyway, like, follow, share. Anyway, cheers. Thank you for
happy
supporting us.
And
happy
Bucket
Friday.